Amen. Well, as Minton comes forward, let's stretch our hands out to him right now. Father, we just speak blessings over our brother. We thank you, Father, for the anointing. Thank you, Father, that you have given him a word. And Lord, we come to you today to receive that word. We want to hear what thus saith the Lord through your servant. And we speak blessings over him. Thank you for giving him utterance in the Holy Ghost. That Lord, as he opens his mouth wide, you will fill it with your words in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I want to start this morning by giving you a testimony. I'd really hope Fred would be here because he played a part in this. About 4 years ago, Fred brought a gentleman to our Monday morning prayer group that we have. There's about six, seven of us get together for the first time. And then he brought him back the next week. And this gentleman shared that he had problems with his eyes. He was legally blind. He could not read. And obviously he wasn't driving. He could navigate his way around with some corrective lenses, but that was about it. And about 6 weeks ago, he looked up at me and said, he calls me Mr. Minton. He's not that much younger than I am. But he said, Mr. Minton, do you remember what you said to me the second time I came here? And I said, well, Rob, I remember we prayed for you, but as to what I said, I don't have a clue. So he told me, word for word, what I said. Now that's important, because for him it was a word of the Lord. And he had macular degeneration. And that's a spot in the middle of your eye where everything goes through that is really important for your vision. And so he said that I prayed, and he said, you really didn't pray. He said, you just declared that I would see, and you spoke to whatever material was there and told it to be removed. And he said, I just got back from the doctor last week, the eye doctor. And I should tell you that he said, from that point on, I had no degeneration. He also said, you started off by saying, I call this eye having macular regeneration. And so, and it wasn't just me now. There were other people who put their hands on him. So don't look at me in an exalted way by any means. But he said he started being able to read with some corrective lenses. Now it was, you know, Bible up close, but he could read. And I will tell you that he was also faithful to come to a Bible study I did on Tuesday night, really a midweek service for a church. He was there every time somebody could drive him, because he couldn't drive. But anyway, he said, the doctor told me this morning that that part in my eye that was causing that macular degeneration had moved to the left in both eyes. And he said, I now have 20/20 in this eye and 20/80 in this eye. And he drove for the first time all the way to Fort Valley and back by himself. So praise God. Glory to God for that. Now, you remember how long I said ago he first came? 4 years. So what does that tell you? That he took that word and he never stopped believing that that word shall happen in his life. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. But before I do, I want to introduce this by sharing something very personal to me. And just let me tell you up front, I'm not going to tell you everything about this. And just trust me with this. I'm just not comfortable saying it in public yet. 51 years ago tomorrow, a lady in this church called my mama and said, I have a word from the Lord for your son. And she gave it to her. And Mama recorded it in a journal she keeps. And I don't remember when, but it was sometime between 2000 and 2005, before my father passed away, when she shared that with me. And she may have told me before, but I don't remember. And in that word, the Lord said in one part of it, I stamp thee today. And then he used a phrase to describe me, and that's what I'm not going to say today. I'm just not quite comfortable with that yet. And, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, whoa. I was excited about it, but I was very nervous about it. I was thinking, how can this be me? I did not see myself like that at all. And I remember the first kind of few things I asked the Lord about it was, what does this mean? And is this word true? And I knew it was because it kind of deep down inside, you know, when you hear something like that, it bears witness with you. But I could not see myself that way at all. So, fast forward to back to last Friday night. In fact, I'll tell you, when the lady who came, she actually came to Dad's funeral, she walked in the receiving line and she called me by that phrase. That's the first time I ever met her. And she remembered that from, at that time, 41 years ago. So, last Friday night, the Lord said, I want you to go read those words that were spoken to you. And so I went back and began to look at this one. And I read that phrase. And inside me, and I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but I heard the words, and so I spoke what I heard. Be it unto me according to your word. And I want to read you what I then heard from the Lord. You may say, well, what does this have to do with healing? And I want to say it has everything to do with how we receive from the Lord. So I said to him, be it unto me according to your word. And then I heard, and I believe this was the Lord talking to me, I wondered when you were finally going to accept it versus asking me what it meant. And then he said to me, it has been in you since that day waiting for your word. You understand what I'm saying? It has been in you since that day waiting for your word. What was he telling me? He spoke the word. In fact, that word concludes by saying, rejoice in what I have done for you, in what I have done today. So when did he consider that done? When he spoke it. When was it going to manifest in me? When I considered it done. So you see the analogy then, some of the link with healing. And so I began to see that what I had done is I had just mentally ascended to that. I had not really taken it in me to where I could say, I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, did I want it? Yeah, real bad. Did I think I needed it if I'm going to do what I believe he's called me to do? Yeah, really bad. But you know what? We don't receive from the Lord because we want it bad, because we need it bad, or because someone else wants it bad for us. We have to believe it to the point that we speak it. And so, if you ask me today, I would tell you, I am what he said. I received it Friday night. Do I feel different? Do I have total understanding about it? No, but you know what? It don't matter. I can rejoice because I am what he said without me having to see it. Now with that, I begin to think then about Mary. So go to Luke 1, 28. We'll start in verse 28, but only because I cannot read this passage without reading this verse. In this verse, it starts out and it says, and coming in, this is the angel coming to her, he said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, the reason I read that is because I don't want you to think that this applies to Mary or to someone who happens to stand up here in front of you teaching today. It applies to you. Because this word here for favored one is the exact same word in Ephesians 2:6, where it tells us we've been, King James says, accepted, 1:6, in the beloved. Exact same word. So you have been accepted in the beloved. You've been favored and brought into the family. Same word. So don't say this is about someone else. This is about you. And then I want you to look on down, because you know this account, into verse 37. Now the angel has told her what's going to happen. And she didn't ask, what does that mean or anything. She said, well, I know who I am and how can this come about. And he told her. And in this verse, verse 37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, nothing there is three words. One word means every or the whole. Another word means not, so it's taking what is positive and making it negative. And it really says no thing or nothing, but the word there, the final word is rhema. So what is he saying to you? No word spoken by the Lord is impossible for you. Now what does that say to you? That says to me, and it better say to you, all of these promises in here? Or what? Yes and amen. So what does that mean when you're believing to receive one of these promises? It means when you receive it, nothing, no word that the Lord has said concerning you is impossible. It shall come about. Now it goes on then, and look what Mary says in the next verse. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. So I want to ask you, when did she conceive that? When she said it. Because when she said it, it was just as good as done as it was when the Lord spoke it, waiting for her response. Now the angel may not have come, the Holy Spirit may not have come and hovered over her yet. But by her saying, be it unto me, what she was literally saying is, I become your word. I become the healed one. I am the healed one. This is who I have been made to be. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been at times for me, and it was particularly with me as I learned that the word for receive in the Greek means, which is lambano, means to take, that I would try to see myself taking this. And Robert, I got tickled the other night when you talked about riding on your motorcycle and heard the Lord say, receive the love. I was sitting back there where Pastor Trey is, and I just grinned because all this came to me Friday night. And so what I realized is there are times when the Lord speaks to me or gives me a scripture to stand on, and I end up trying to make it happen. I take it, but I don't understand how it's going to happen, and so I try to do things that make it. And any time there's works involved on my part, that ought to be a clue to me. I'm not in faith on it. I'm not resting in faith on it. So I want you to go now to 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, the 13th verse. Because we need to cement in our hearts that I don't have to do but one thing in order to receive it and for it to work. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive the Word of God, so when you did what? When you received, and he's talking there about not just mentally knowing it, but getting it in your heart. Getting it in your heart to the point that you believe that you can speak it. Be it unto me according to your word. When you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is. The word of God, and this is the phrase I want us to focus on, which also performs its work in you. Now, we might say, well, wait a minute. I thought the Holy Spirit was going to bring the power and the healing. Well, the Word and the Spirit work together. What is it that is working in you who believe? And if you believe, what are you going to be doing? Speaking. So let me ask that question again so somebody will answer it. What is it that is working in you who believe to perform? The Word is working in you. Is that the same thing as saying Jesus is working you? Sure. Is it the same thing as saying the Holy Spirit is working in you? Yes. Is it the same thing as saying the Father? He's the one who does the works. Yes. But it's not you. It's not up to you except to believe it and therefore speak it. It is that Word that is working in us. Now, we talked last year at length, did about 3 or 4 sessions on receiving, and one of the things we really talked about was being at rest. And that has become a real milestone for me to look at and say, am I truly in faith about it? Do I feel peace on the inside, or am I trying to do something? So the first thing I've got to do is believe it. So we say, have faith, and we give definitions for faith. But let me just say this. Faith to me is having a full expectation that God is going to do His will. In other words, He's going to perform what He said He would do. That to me is a simple way of talking about faith. Now, let's go look at 5 scriptures, and we'll go through these quickly. And the first one is Proverbs 4:22. I want us to just look at 5 scriptures that talk about healing. So this is His word for you and I on healing. This is what we can say if we believe. Be it according to me. Be it to me according to your word. Now this verse is one, it was one of the first verses that was used the very first day we had healing school. Pastor Trey used this to introduce it. Talking about His words, for they are life to those who find them, and health for their what? Whole body, head to toe. That to me says anything that you need is covered right here. And then we look at Psalms 107 verse 20, which says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them, and let me say it this way, from that which would have destructed or destroyed them. He healed, sent His word, and He healed him. And then next, let's go to the New Testament and to Matthew 4 in verses 23 and 24. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What was the gospel of the kingdom? The good news of His salvation, of what He was doing. So He was proclaiming the gospel and healing a few different of the less tough diseases. Not what it said, was it? He was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness amongst the people. The next verse. And the news about Him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all who were ill. All who were suffering, all who had different diseases, all who had pains, all who had demoniacs. And it continues. And the final phrase there says, and He healed them all. So Matthew 12, you're not far from there. Verse 15. Now Jesus had been talking, and he knew some of them wanted to make Him king, and so He withdrew. Many followed Him, and He healed them all. And finally, in Matthew 14, the 14th verse, He had gone ashore, and He saw a large crowd, and He felt compassion for them. He felt a love. knowing that he had something to give them. And what happened? He healed their sick, and we could say they're all. So now, I wrote down these words, and if you're so inclined, they're basically going to be a summary of these scriptures. I want you to say them with me. But I don't want you to just say them because I'm saying them. If you believe what we just read, then say those and let that faith come out. Speak that faith. So, his word is life to me. Go say it with me. His word is life to me and health to my whole body. He sent his word and healed me. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom concerning me and healed every sickness and disease of mine. Jesus healed them all, and that includes me. Jesus saw me when he was on the cross. He had compassion for me, and he healed my body. Now, what are you doing when you say those things over yourself? You are speaking a blessing over yourself. You are speaking his words over you. And his words are always a blessing. They are never curses. Never curses. Now, with that then, Mark 11, 23 and 24. This tells us that when we pray, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart." So if we're not doubting, we're what? Believing. Believing that what we says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. 24 continues and says, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." So with that then, the question that I have is, when do we receive? And most of us would say, well, when we declare it or when we pray it. And I just want to add one other thing. When you pray it and declare it, believing it. Now, don't get me wrong. It is okay to say these things when you, and just speak them over and over yourself when you know you're not fully in agreement with it yet, because when you hear the word of God, it has more power in your spirit than you hearing me speak it or anyone else. It will create inside you. It will create what? Well, the word says it'll create faith. And you know, it's interesting because isn't that how the Lord always works? It's like the Father has the plan. Jesus, in the beginning, I believe, spoke the word, and the Holy Spirit administered his word. And that's exactly what happens when we speak his word. What is it? I know I've said it and some others have said it to you. The Father told Reinhard Bonnke that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. So that just says to me we need to be speaking these things over and over. Now, if we believe we've received when we pray, then when should we be giving thanks for what we have believed we have received? Do we wait until we see it and give thanks? No. We begin rejoicing then. Why would I rejoice then? Because when you really believe you've received it and spoken it, it ought to be as real to you, and you ought to be able to rejoice in the same manner as you would after the healing. If you don't, then that may be a little clue to you of where you are standing with respect to your faith. Now, This is not something that is just New Testament new. Go to the book of Joshua. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament so that we can see this in practice. And this encourages me because it says this is what faith will really do for people even though they weren't born again. Now this is the story, the account of Joshua. They've crossed the Jordan. They've eaten manna for the last time. They begin to eat some of the fruit of the land. But they were staring at this walled city. That which looked, what? Impossible. And the word of the Lord comes to Joshua in the 15th verse of the previous chapter, which we're not going to read. And then it says, Jericho was shut up tight. And then the Lord begins to talk to Joshua. And he says, see? Now, what was Joshua looking at? That walled city with the walls high, with valiant warriors, big soldiers inside it. And he says, see. And then he gives him what he's to see. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. Now, what was the Lord expecting Joshua to see? The Lord was expecting him to see that his words were more real than what he was looking at there in front of him. Say it for us. His words are more real than the report the doctor gives. Because the doctor's report is subject to change when the truth, which doesn't change, works. Then it continues on here in the third verse. Let me just say one other thing. What the Lord really wanted Joshua to see is that when he took these words in him, it's a done deal. That city is mine. Just like we can confess that healing is mine. And then verse 3 and 4 and really 5 give him some instructions. He says, you're going to march around the city. All the men were circling at once. You shall do it for 6 days. And also 7 priests will carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn around this before the ark. Now, let's stop there. Ram's horns were used for 2 things. To sound the alarm and to celebrate. To sound an alarm and to celebrate. So they're going to blow these horns. And when you, and it says, on the 7th day you'll march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be, verse 5, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. So now for Joshua, when is the city his? After the walls fall down? Or when he gets this word from the Lord and believes it? And then what does he turn around and do? He turns around and speaks it to the people to tell them what they're going to do. You know, I've been asked the question, and you've probably heard others say it, well, why did he tell them to go around silently for 7 days? And I can only imagine why. But my imagination says he knew the people and he didn't want them to say anything contrary to what they were doing, because it would have been real easy for them to walk around that wall looking straight up at it and said, what are we going to do? How in the world is what we're doing today going to help what's supposed to happen? And what would they begin to do? Speak doubt, which says they hadn't accepted it. But when they had to walk around and couldn't voice what they were hearing inside, what the devil was telling them, then I think that forced them to meditate that word, and it grew in them. Now, When would we normally think of shouting if we had been in their shoes? We would have shouted when we stood back and watched the wall fall. Then we would have shouted. So I want to ask you the question, did the wall fall because they shouted with great joy? And the word for shout there literally means split the ears, and it also can be an alarm or it can be a rejoicing sound. So let me ask that question again. What caused the wall to fall? Was it the shout? I believe what the Lord was having them do is celebrate before it fell. So it really wasn't the shout that caused it to fall. It was the word of the Lord that He had given to them. When you do this, it'll fall. And so that tells me I need to be rejoicing even when I'm in the midst of feeling like I'm going through hell. And what will that rejoicing do for you? It'll take you right through, and the sea will open up before you. So what we're talking about here is they acted on the word, and they weren't shouting to make the word fall. They were shouting because they had received the word of the Lord, and they knew that word would work, just like we saw in 1 Thessalonians. They acted on what they believed. Now, James 2:17, and Emmy's going to put this up in the Amplified Version. This basically is the verse that talks about faith without works is dead. Another translation calls it corresponding action. Let's read it in the Amplified together. So also, faith, if it does not have works, and then it defines works, deeds and actions of obedience. Doing what the Lord tells you to do. Deeds and actions of obedience to back it up. To back what up? What you believe. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it just because He said do it? Or are you doing it because... Let me back up. Are you doing it because He said doing it and you hope by your doing it you're going to move Him to act? Or are you doing it because you believe His word that when you do it, something's going to happen that you've been asking for? And then it goes on to say, faith by itself is destitute of power. So, there are times when we all hear a word from the Lord, and, well, let me back up. There are times when maybe we don't hear a word from the Lord. We don't know what's the next step I need to take. And what I'll tell you is there's still corresponding action that we can take that demonstrates our faith. There are times when we hear from the Lord to take a step of faith. And let me just remind you, He said a step of faith. In fact, the Scripture tells us in Romans, doesn't it, that we're to follow the steps of faith of our father of faith, Abraham. So sometimes this happens in steps, and the healing will manifest over time instead of the sudden miracle. So we don't want to get disappointed, just like Rob didn't lose his sight because it took 4 years for it to come. So before the walls fall, they were shouting because they believed what the word of the Lord said. And then in verse 20, if you go there, back into Joshua, when we don't... Oh, look, she can. So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down. I can't give you any logical reason why a shout would cause the wall to fall down. But I can give you the reason... They were obedient to the word of the Lord, and it produced. So what do we do then when we don't know what to do? Or maybe we hear from the Lord, and He tells you, get up and do this and act like you believe you're healed. But the situation that you're in, you just can't do that at that point in time. Are we going to get discouraged and quit? Go to the book of Jonah. And you say, Jonah, I thought that had to do with a big fish. It does. What does it have to do with healing? It has to do a lot, because Jonah's obedience led to the healing of a whole land. In the first verse, it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and where was he? In the stomach of the fish. So where is he now? He's in the belly of that fish. What is he seeing? Don't even try to describe it. And I don't even want you to think about what it smelled like there. So we continue on then. Look at verse 2. So here, in his lowest degree possible, he calls out of his distress to the Lord. And he answers him. So maybe this is me. Sometime when something's come against me and I feel like it's just knocked the wind out of me totally, and I don't have faith for it, and out of my distress, I call to the Lord. What do I have a promise of? He answers me. We can cry for help from the depth of Sheol, and he will hear our voice. Now go down to verse 4. He comments, I've been expelled from thy sight. Now you got to remember, this is old covenant. And God dealt with people differently from the way he deals with you and I today. So don't feel like that when you miss and don't do what he says, he's going to slap you down and put something on you. He doesn't deal with us that way. We live in this age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit, a different dispensation. So he says here, I've been expelled from thy sight. Now, again, where is he? In the belly of the whale. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. God told Joshua to see the walls down, and yet the walls were up. He tells him in the belly of this fish to look at him, and you can only imagine what he's seeing. But he says, I will look. And I believe he does look. How does he do it? Out of faith. Seeing in the spirit more real than we see the physical. Verse 5 says, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Wow. And I descended to the roots of the mountain. In other words, he'd gone down. The earth was its bars around me forever. He's saying what he felt like in the physical. But thou hast brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. Now, he is declaring, I have been brought up. That's past tense, would we all agree? From the pit, O Lord my God. Where is he? He ain't been brought up for nothing, has he, physically? But how is he calling it? How is he declaring it? As a done deal. Saying, this is who I am. This is where I am, even though I can't see it or feel it. And then look at verse 9. So what are we supposed to do then? When we're at our lowest low, when we can't see and we want to look to his holy hill, this is what we ought to be doing. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed will pay. That which I have vowed will pay. He's saying, I'm going to do what I said. And then he said, salvation, wholeness, soundness, deliverance, healing, prosperity, peace. All that salvation is comes from you, Lord. So what does he do? He worships. So what are we to do then when we take the word, we believe it, we don't hear an action to say, we can't see the result of it yet, what are we to do? Lord, I'm looking at you, at your word. Lord, I'm down in the bottom, physically, but I'm looking at you, and I'm also going to sacrifice to you with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to act like I just received physically what I know is mine because of your word to me. You see this different attitude of faith? Faith has an attitude. And it's okay because it's a good attitude to have. Let's talk about John 11, verse 41. This is when Jesus is going to raise Lazarus up. And in this verse, he declares, Lord, I thank you because you've heard me. So what is he saying? He said he's giving me the implication that he's been talking to the Father about this and that he knows it's a done deal. But where's Lazarus? Still behind that tomb. That rock's still there. And yet, what is Jesus saying so that all these others could hear this voice? I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you're going to do what I'm about to declare. That's the boldness we need to have when we ask the Lord for something. He gives us a word to stand on, and we need to have that boldness, that confidence, that trust to declare it at that moment. That's not what happened to me, was it, when I got over that other word from the Lord 51 years ago tomorrow. But you know what? The Lord will deal with you right where you are when you turn and look toward Him. Now, I want to talk as we begin to close. We're okay. What does Jesus, as our faithful high priest, do? Well, what did a priest do in the Old Covenant? The priest represented the people, represented God to the people. They also represented the people to God. So they were the intercessors, the in-between at that point. They did all the work in the temple. In other words, you might say they performed the administrative activities that the Father directed them to do. Now, in that then, let's go and look at Hebrews 3:1. Because this one tells us that we too have a priest, not just a priest, a high priest. I'll just read off the screen. Therefore, holy brethren, we got to stop there. Does that include all of us here today? If you don't nod your head up and down, we need to talk. Because if you consider yourself born again, that's talking about you. That means you are able to go before the Father without any shame, condemnation, in total righteousness that Jesus made you to be. So he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. So he's telling us we're not looking and we haven't been called to things that are just dealing with this earth. Consider Jesus. And when I read that, I think of in the desert, that serpent, brass serpent, being raised up on that pole. And it said what? Consider Jesus. In other words, give him the look. What did Jonah do? I'm looking towards your holy temple where your presence is. Look at him and consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, what does the word confession, some translations say profession. What does that word mean? The word is homologio, which means saying the same thing as. So I might say we're speaking his words, and if we're doing it based on what we studied today, we're doing it with a heart of thanksgiving, even when we hadn't seen something. Verses 2 and 3 says he was faithful to him who appointed him as Moses was faithful in all his house. Verse 3 goes on to say, for he has been counted more worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about our Jesus, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. And then to verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken later. Okay, in verse 6. But Christ. Now let's stop there. Talking about Jesus, but it's not his last name. It wasn't Joseph Christ. Christ means Yeshua, the Messiah, HaMashiach. It's talking about the Anointed One. Now, when we talk about the Anointed One, we also need to talk about the Anointing One and His anointing. Why is that important? Because who dwells within you? The Holy Spirit does. And that is the anointing that Jesus was anointed with. So all that Jesus was anointing with resides in you. And then it goes on and describes and says concerning him, Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. We're the temple. If we hold fast, and then it uses two words in my New American Standard. It says, in the confidence and the boast of our hope to the end. Now, to me, these words, confidence, it's also translated boldness. We need to know what they mean. The word confidence there is, and I probably won't say this right, parousia. And it literally means all outspokenness. Now, what is a person who is outspoken? They're saying what they think. It also means frankness or bluntness. What is someone who is very frank? They are frank with what? Their words. Well, he's a very blunt person. He just says what he thinks. What is involved in this confidence? Words is. And the last word that it literally means is publicity. So our being confident, our being bold, is speaking those words which we believe. It's giving the Lord publicity, talking about His great and precious promises that come with His salvation. And then you see this ties in a little better. If we hold fast to our confidence and the boast, not of ourselves, but what is boasting? When you're talking about someone and all they've done and you're bragging on them. How about if we say we're making them larger in our own view and in the view of others? And the boast of our hope until the end. So I want you to see that even in this verse where it's talking about us having confidence, if you truly have confidence, you're going to express it with your mouth. Boldly, confidently, frankly, publicizing what Jesus has done for you. The boasting. Now, when we are doing this, what are we doing? We are giving Jesus the words where He can turn to the Father, and He does what? He intercedes for us. How does He intercede for us? I believe one way He does it is using our words that we give Him when our words were His words. He's turning to the Father and said, look, Miss Millie is saying the same thing, Father, that you said back here in the Old Testament. I said it in the New Testament. And what's the Father going to say? Administer it. Send the Holy Spirit to do it. Command the angels, you, the Lord of the Sabaoth, send your angels to go do it. What are we doing? We're giving Him words to speak, to administer the blessing of God. Now, what is a blessing? Definition, Webster says, a blessing is an act or words that bless. What does it mean to bless? One of the definitions for bless is to confer prosperity or happiness upon. I've always said bless means empower to prosper. And I want to tell you, the Lord's not can't get He cannot give away something He doesn't have. And He is love, and in that love, He is good, and from that love and good, good things come out of him for you and I. So what are we doing then when we speak boldly his word over us? We're speaking a blessing over ourselves. Have you ever talked to your body? Have you ever blessed your children or grandchildren and declared over them the words of the Lord? Go with me to Numbers chapter 6 and we'll close with this. In the 6th chapter of Numbers, instruction is given to Moses to talk to the priest. And so she's got it there. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, okay, stop there. Aaron was the high priest at that time. What were his sons? Priest. So, who is supposed to speak the blessing over God's people? The priest. Ah, so fast forward to today. Who is to speak the blessing over God's people? Pastor Trey every Sunday morning? What do we do on Sunday mornings here? We, as priests of the Most High, speak blessings on ourselves and over each other, just like we ought to be doing. But blessing has been reduced to something you say when someone sneezes. Gesundheit. I was with a bunch of Germans one day, and they said, Sprechen Sie Deutsch? And I said, no. And that was about all the German I knew was that phrase. But look what he says to him. You shall bless the sons of Israel. You should say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance among you, upon you and give you peace. Now that is how in MYF as a young kid, as a teenager, we closed every Methodist Youth Fellowship young people's meeting. I had no clue what I was saying. I had no clue what I was doing. But today I do. And I got even a better understanding because about 2 weeks ago I saw this next verse for the first time. Emmy, is it possible to put that up in King James or New King James? This says in the New American Standard, so shall they invoke. Now, that's literally part of what that means. But a better translation would be, so shall they put, or so shall they place, my name on the sons of Israel, and I will then bless them. What are we saying here? When we bless, when we say the things which the Lord says about us, over us, not only are we just putting words out there, this says, I'm putting the name of the Lord upon them. Now, I don't know about you, but that lit my fire, even on a rainy day. And then it says, when I do that, the Lord is obligating himself to perform it. He's going to give you those good things. He's going to bring that prosperity, that health. So it is not us working to get it when we start saying what the Lord said about it. It is empowering that word to work. So I want you to speak blessing over yourself, and we're going to speak the same words we did earlier. Only I trust that at this point, faith has risen. And when you say it, you're seeing yourself speaking over yourself and placing the name of the Lord upon you. And we can do this to our children. This is one of the things my father learned late in life, well after I had children. And he really got on fire about blessing my children. And I can tell you, it bears fruit, folks. If they are in the place they need to be, when we speak the word of the Lord over them, we're not just praying for them and we're not just interceding for them when we're speaking his word. We're placing his name upon them. And his name is exalted. It is over everything in this world. So you are placing them in a position to be over everything that's coming against him. So, say these with me. His word is life to me. And health to my body. He sent His word. And healed me. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Concerning me. And healed every sickness. And healed every disease of mine. Jesus healed them all. And that includes me. Jesus saw me while He was on the cross. He had compassion for me. And He healed my body. Now, based on what we studied today, what should we do now? Shout. Okay? Robert said the other night, shout your doubt out. I believe the doubt has been driven out because the Word has been poured in. So shout and rejoice with me during this time. Hallelujah! Worship You, Lord. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Thank You, Father God. Glory and honor to You. Hallelujah! Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. I give You thanks. I look to Your Word, Lord. I look to Your word. We rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. Your word, Lord. We rejoice, we rejoice. We rejoice, we rejoice. I bless You in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. I wish that you could see the difference in your faces now versus when we started teaching. There is a glow over many of you in this audience right now. Why is that? It's nothing I've done, but you've just placed the name of the Lord on yourself, and you will shine forth. And it will not only bless you, but just remember, like Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing.